Now these are the last words of David, the oracle of David, son of Jesse, the oracle of the man whom God exalted, the anointed of the God of Jacob, the favorite of the strong one of Israel. The Spirit of the Lord speaks through me. His word is upon my tongue. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, one who rules over people justly, ruling in the fear of God, is like the light of morning, like the sun rising on a cloudless morning, gleaming from the rain on the grassy land. Is not my house like this with God? For he has made me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and secure. Will he not cause to prosper all my help and my desire? But the godless are like thorns that are thrown away, for they cannot be picked up with the hand. To touch them, one uses an iron bar or the shaft of a spear, and they are entirely consumed in fire on the spot.
Our second lesson today is from the Gospel of John, chapter 18. I'll actually be reading from 33 to 38. Hear now this reading from the Holy Scripture. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I am come into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This Sunday we're celebrating Christ the King Sunday. It's actually the last Sunday of the year, and that's not something everybody realizes. Next Sunday, the first Sunday of Advent, is the beginning of our church year. So this Sunday, we're finishing a whole cycle, and we finish that cycle by celebrating the kingship of Jesus Christ. But with that continuity that we have in our faith, that continuing on, that next year, a new year begins. But what do we mean when we're talking about the kingship of Jesus Christ? Our scripture lesson today is kind of an unusual one because it's actually comes from Holy Week. It's when Jesus is before Pilate being tried, leading up to his crucifixion. And in John, when Pilate asks him, "Are you king?" they get into a big dialogue. The other three Gospels, what we call the Synoptic Gospels, all Jesus says to him is, "You say this is so." But here they get into a full conversation about, is he king? But what does it mean to be king? I'm sure if I ask you what a king is, you'd have a lot of answers. But in Jesus' day, as it is today, a king was a leader. Throughout the centuries, often kings were believed to be anointed by God. And of course, in the Hebrew tradition, that is the case. Our Old Testament lesson today was what is referred to as David's last words. David was the second king of Israel, a kingship that God did not want to set up. God had said to them, "You're going to regret this." And it certainly proved to be true. David was considered to be one of the good kings. But we know from history that David had a lot of bad moments too. The story of him and Bathsheba, where he actually killed another man because of a woman. David was always at war. Something that we learn from Jesus and from the prophets also, that God didn't want war. And because of all of David's history, when it was time to build the temple, David was told he couldn't do it. That was to be left to his son Solomon. One of the interesting things we did in seminary was we charted all the kings throughout history of the Israel people. And let me tell you, there were a lot more bad kings than there were good kings. Many of them were considered bad just because they fell away from following God. But it proved to be true just what God said when he was setting up the kingship. You're gonna regret it. But now we come to today's lesson, and Pilate's asking Jesus, "Are you king?" Jesus said, "I'm not from this kingdom. My kingdom is not of this world." Now, he actually says two different things in John. He says it's not of this world, and it's not from this world. He never says it's not for this world. And that's one of the things I want to look at as we're talking about this time of worshiping Jesus, or not worship. I don't want to use the word worship. I'll actually address that later. Looking at the kingship of Jesus. Jesus' understanding of what it would be to have a kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. If you'll remember in the Lord's Prayer, what do we pray every week when we pray the Lord's Prayer? Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Which is an interesting thing, because if you understand the culture of that time, they have a totally different understanding of what we think of as heaven. When we talk about heaven, we totally think about life after death, another place. But for that day and age, heaven had a different understanding. Heaven was actually a different word they used for God. Jewish people will not use the name of God. And that was true in Jesus' day. And often when they were referring to God, they would refer to heaven. So when they talk about the kingdom of heaven, they weren't necessarily talking about something else out there. Kingdom of heaven was also here. And that is certainly what Jesus taught. Everything Jesus taught was about here and now. When he was talking about a kingdom of heaven, he was talking about making this earth that we live in the earth, the world that God wants it to be. If you think about Jesus' teachings, he talked about feeding the hungry. He talked about caring for children. He talked about healing sick. And when it came to violence, he talked about turning the other cheek. Or if someone takes your cloak and makes you walk a mile, go another mile and give them your undergarment. And even at the time of his arrest, part of the story is that Peter took out a sword and cut off the ear of a servant of one of the ones that was coming to arrest him. And Jesus rebuked Peter and said, "No, those who live by the sword will die by the sword. And he took his hand and he healed the ear. Jesus taught not fighting, but having a message of love. In Rob Bell's book called Love Wins, Rob talked a lot about this image of heaven. And it was there that you read a lot about this idea of heaven. Not that it isn't out there, but that it's here also. And that's what we need to understand, is Jesus called the people of that day to live to create God's kingdom there. Now, we know what kind of reaction that brought. You look what happened. He was preaching that message, and the authorities, the people in power, didn't like it. And it wasn't necessarily the Romans. The Romans weren't particularly concerned about him. It was his own people that saw what he preached and didn't like it, because it affected their power, because that wasn't what they were preaching. Jesus, though, in this passage said, he didn't particularly acknowledge whether he was a king or not, but he said, "I came to preach the truth." And there's where we run into problems. What is the truth? Pilate even asked Jesus, "What is the truth?" If you're on Facebook, and I know many of you are, I go on there and check out what's going on right now, and actually a lot of the times, there's lots of messages of very different views of Christianity. You'll get the far left, you'll get the far right, and you'll get somewhere in between. But that's that searching for truth. That's one of those things we as Christians struggle with all the time. What is truth? How are we supposed to live? What does it mean to be a Christian? Right now, one of the biggest debates that are going on Facebook is about Syrian refugees. Probably one of the most difficult things, now that they say that they've tied the bombings in Paris to a Syrian refugee, it makes everybody afraid. And that's a difficult thing about living with the truth of Christianity, is sometimes trying to follow that truth can be very difficult. Many of the posts on Facebook are, if you're truly a Christian, then you need to take the Syrian refugees in. One of them had a picture of a manger scene and said, if you're putting this in your yard, then you're saying you're willing to take a refugee into your home. And yet that's hard. There's many things about being a Christian that are not easy. One of the stories Rob Bell talked about a lot in his chapter on heaven was about the rich young ruler. You remember that rich young ruler? He came to Jesus and said, what will it take for me to get to eternal life? Jesus said, follow the commandments. Now, one of the things I had never picked up on before, Rob Bell points out that Jesus said to him to follow the commandments, but he only talked about five of the commandments. He didn't worry about the ones about following God. And the ones that are about how we should live as people, he left one out. He left out the one about coveting. And the man could easily answer, yes, I'd follow all of those commandments. But then Jesus said to him, give away what you have and help the poor. Now that's a toughie, because this man lived his life not following that last commandment. And that's why Jesus didn't ask him that, because he was getting ready to prove that he couldn't do it. Because personal property was so important to him that he couldn't manage to give it away. And Jesus didn't even ask him to give away everything. He just asked him to change his priorities. And that's what Jesus asks of us. He doesn't say you have to live in poverty. He just asks us to change our priorities. Not just about our money, but our time and our talents. Jesus came to lead. That's what a king does. You know, one of the things about kings is, yes, many of them are anointed. All the Israelite kings were considered to be anointed. But they also had a particular territory. And one of the things kings, whether you call them by king or Caesar or czars or whatever different names get attached that mean basically the same as king, is they're always trying to expand their territory. And if you think about it, most of the time they're trying to do that by persecuting other people. But Jesus understood that that's not what it should be about. He lived under the Roman territories. He saw the persecution. Rome kept their power by holding people down. They talk about Pax Romana, which means peace of Rome. But what that means is, because of their soldiers, they had people too afraid to do anything but follow them. That's not what Jesus' kingdom is. Jesus taught to follow him. You know, Andy said this a couple of weeks ago in his ending thing, and it's something we talk about a lot. Jesus didn't ask us to worship him. Jesus asked us to follow him. Many kings often expect to be worshipped, that you'll fall down and at their footsteps. You know, that was one of the things that you saw throughout the scripture. People were told to worship nobody but the king or the czar or the Caesar or whatever the leader happened to be at the time. But that's not what God asks for. God asks us to live our lives seeking to follow what he wants. And that's a world of peace and love. If you remember in the prophets, so often the prophets would say this. Isaiah said that there would be a time when this world would be different, where the lion would lay down with the calf, and plows and swords would be hammered into plowshares, that swords would be used to farm the land to provide food for those that were hungry. That's what this kingdom of heaven is that Jesus talks about in the Lord's Prayer. This is the kingdom that Jesus is talking about when he says, I'm not of this kingdom. I'm here for another purpose. I'm here to help spread the message. And yes, when I'm gone, I want that message to go on. I want my followers to go out into the world and share that same idea that as my followers, as God's people, we will work to bring about that peace and that love, that time of no want, when people have places to live and enough to eat. It doesn't mean everybody has to be rich, and it doesn't mean, but it does mean that everybody should have enough. God doesn't care whether we're rich or poor. God cares that we have what we need to reach out to touch the lives of others. And that's what it means to be a part of the kingship of Jesus Christ. Today, as we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, we celebrate the fact that we follow a king who cares about this world and wants this world to be a place where all people live in peace. They live in harmony. They live in a world where the lion can lay down with the calf, a child can play by the den of the cobra, and nobody will be hungry or suffer from sickness. This is the kingdom of God, the kingdom of love and peace that our King has called us to build. Thanks be to God. Amen. This week, as you go out into the world, remember whose you are and why you do what you do. Look to your King, to Jesus Christ, to guide you in all that you do. This week, we're going to be celebrating Thanksgiving, a day when we celebrate all the blessings we have, all that we enjoy in this country, a freedom that is known, that is unlike any known throughout the world. A world where many Christians fear to even worship or to acknowledge that God is King. Count your blessings. And as you count those blessings, look for ways you can share those blessings. Go out into the world, letting everybody know that you are Christians, that follow a King who desires a world of love and peace. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this day and forevermore. Amen.